Thank you, Stanley, for that introduction. Some of you are known to us. We are new. Just a quick introduction. I am always introduced as a person who runs an institution in India called Accept Society, caring for people who are less fortunate, who are suffering without any hope in the world. Yes, that's true. But actually, I am an assembly person who is involved in an assembly ministry in India. This ministry is an outreach ministry of our assembly in Bangalore. And seldom I am introduced as an assembly person who is ministering in the assembly, sharing the gospel and teaching a little bit what I know, but always connected with Accept Ministry. Well, that may be because people are not very familiar with me. My heart is for serving in the assembly, through the assembly. So having born and brought up in India, in the state of Kerala, at a young age, I came to know the Lord. And later, when I went to study in another state, even though I was a believer, I was no different from my friends with whom I was walking. In other words, I was a hypocrite. But it took some years before the Lord touched my heart and there was a real change in my life when I was working in the Arabian Gulf countries. That's where I realized that all the knowledge I had from childhood, being brought up in an assembly home, didn't make me what God wanted me to be. It was a personal encounter with God that changed my life. Then I got married and moved to US. We were working in California. After 14 years, I was convinced that the Lord is calling us to something greater in life than the rat race of accumulating things. That conviction came after a mission trip to Russia when communism collapsed in Soviet Union. That trip has really challenged my life, opened my eyes to understand what is the one main purpose of our life here. With that conviction and the blessing of the assembly here in Riverside, California, we moved back to India in 1995. So it's about 26 years since we moved back to India, involved in sharing the gospel, teaching the word of God. Along with that, the assembly was started. It's called Agape Christian Assembly in Bangalore. That's my main ministry, by the way. Then we came across people who are suffering with HIV and AIDS, destitute, rejected by society and family. The Lord put a burden in our heart to help them. That's how this ministry was started, as an outreach ministry of Agape Christian Assembly. I am a person who is convinced that if the faith is only within the four walls of our assembly hall, in our fellowship, in our mutual help we do to one another, it's only half the story. There's a world out there that is looking for the truth, a hurting, dying world. So along with the doctrine, duty should be there. Along with the creeds, there should be conduct. And James says, faith without works is dead. That's what convinced me that what can we do for people who are hurting? And God, by His grace, helped us to form this ministry. For the last almost 20 years, this ministry has cared for about 6,000 people who are suffering with HIV/AIDS. Recently, we have opened our center for people with cancer, palliative care, terminally sick people, a children home, a senior home for elderly ones who have nobody to look after them. So that's the ministry that is going on. But I'm basically an evangelist. I love to share the good news and teach the little I know about the Savior, our wonderful Lord. My wife and I came here because my sister's husband, younger sister's husband, Soman, was going through some real difficulty with cancer. And I heard he suffered a lot. So we came to spend some time with them. And my elder sister and husband also is also going through a challenging time in their life. So we came to spend some time with them. But after this, because of the COVID-19, we are stuck here and we are not able to go back. I would request you to pray that the Lord will open the doors that we can go back. My heart is back there. Please, brothers and sisters, pray that we can get back. I did not come here to be here, but even then the Lord is using me through this Zoom and other application to reach out to people and continue to pray for us. Thank you. That's a little bit about my wife is now in Dallas. I came back yesterday to California to be with my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, Swaman, he joined this group, even though he's weak. He joined this, and you may be able to see him. You might have seen him. I request you to pray for both of them, Swaman and his wife, Jane, that the Lord will give them the needed courage and strength. Having said that much, let me tell you something about what I observed in your assembly. I'm really pleased with your assembly because I see a mixture of people from different backgrounds. Brothers and sisters, that's what heaven is going to be. You have people from different backgrounds. And you have a lot of young people. And I'm very excited to see that. Our assembly is also like that. We have a lot of young people back in Bangalore. And I also thank you for inviting me to share the word. I'll be doing that today, and Lord willing, if the rapture has not happened, I'll be sharing next Sunday also. And you sit with a prayer that the Lord will speak to our hearts. I'm not very eloquent man. I'm a very simple, ordinary man. So you have to accept me as I am and hear the word of God. I have a favorite nephew here in your assembly. His name is Justin John. And I say favorite, and I don't want his brothers to hear that, but he's been such an encouragement to me. And in a small way, I was an encouragement to him when I was in LA many years back. I would ask him to read the passages we are going to look at it. We are going to read a little lengthy passage today from two different books. Joshua's book, chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. If you have your Bible, please open and read along. Brother Justin will help me read in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 5.
Joshua 6, verses 1 through 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him."
Now, verse 10 to 16.
Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they arose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city.
Verse 20.
So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up to into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city.
The second passage is from 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 to 5.
And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook.
Verses 10 and 11.
So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also, the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died.
The last passage, verses 14 to 22.
When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, what does the sound of this tumult mean? And the men came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? So the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured. Then it happened, when he made mention of the Ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for the man was old and heavy. And he had judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the Ark of God was captured, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, do not fear, for you have borne a son. But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. She named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured.
May the Lord's name be glorified. This is the word of God that we have read. Shall we look to the Lord, our Father? We realize it is your precious word. We are only vessels in your hand. Pray that you will use the unworthy, unprofitable servant and speak not only to our mind and intellect, but to our heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May you take all glory in our Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is a message that I will be sharing from these two passages this Sunday, Lord willing, next Sunday. So I will do the first part of it today, and the second part from 1 Samuel will be next Sunday. Now, I know my wife is listening to this because I have already shared this message in another place. So she will have to sit through to hear it second time. There's nothing wrong. Repetition is always good. And always when I repeat a message in some other place, it will not be ditto exactly the same. There will be something the Lord will add. and may his name be glorified. The passages we read from Joshua 6 and 1 Samuel 4 are two incidents happened in Israel's history. One happened outside the promised land, Canaan, when Israel came to Jericho. That's what we read in Joshua 6. The other happened inside the promised land. And in both these places, we see a great shout. In Joshua chapter 6, they shouted on the seventh day, a great shout, and the wall fell, and they had victory at Jericho. But when we look at the second incident that happened in 1 Samuel 4, actually that shout was a greater shout. How do we know that? 1 Samuel 4 verse 5 says at the end, so they shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. So if you look at the size of the shout, the impact of the shout, the second shout was a greater shout. Not only that the earth rang, we read then the Philistines were scared. They said, God has come. Israel's God has come too. And how can we stand against them? They were terrified. In both this time, these events, the Ark of God was there. Okay? But when the first incident in Jericho brought victory, great victory. In this,
So we were looking at the two shouting, two events in Israel's history. One has brought great victory. The other one has brought great defeat, even though the shouting was a greater shout. Even though the ark was there in both instances, the ark did not help. So the first thing we learned from these two incidents, first thing, the victory or defeat had nothing to do with the shouting. Also, it had nothing to do with the ark being in their midst. The ark of the covenant, it was representing the glorious presence of God. It was there in both incidents, but the first one brought victory, the second one brought great defeat. What can we as God's children learn from this? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Why these two different results, even though the shouting was there, even though the ark was there, this is where we have much to learn from. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 says, whatever happened to Israel, I'm not quoting it exactly, happened for our learning and our warning. And to those upon whom the end of the world are come, we are living in the last days. We can learn much from these two incidents. So I'm going to talk about the events at Jericho, why it brought victory. Lord willing, next Sunday we will look at the defeat and from 1 Samuel 4 and see what is the reason. Let me look at the first incident at Joshua chapter 6 in the capture of Jericho. The first thing we read is God gave his promise to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, we read Joshua 1, verse 2 and 3. Justin, if you're there, you can help me.
Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses.
Here we have the promise of God to Joshua that I have already given the land. You just go in and take possession. God told Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now you take the responsibility and go forward. You know, Joshua as a young man was a helper to Moses, but to fill his shoe is not an easy thing. Moses was a great man of God. God himself in Deuteronomy, last chapter, says there was no one like Moses. Now this Joshua had to fill in his shoe. Not an easy thing. Maybe there was fear in his heart. How can I do that? See, God takes his servants away, but his work continues. Basically, what we are reading is God's promise was there for Joshua. And then God said in verse 7 of chapter 1, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. So here we see the first reason for victory at Jericho is the word of God, the obedience to the word of God. God told Joshua, go straight in the word. Don't turn to the left or right. The Lord did not give us a pick and choose attitude when it comes to the word of God. Obedience to the word of God as it is the first ground for victory in our life. You know the verse in Matthew 28:20? You know that great commission verse? Shall I read it? Or Justin, please help me. Verse 20, after he telling, sharing the gospel, baptizing them. Let's read Matthew 20. No, Justin, I will read it, okay? I will read it. You listen carefully. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe few of the things I have commanded you. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a wrong version. Let me read it again. Teaching them to observe all that you like. Oh, still the wrong version, right? Teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. Maybe you have quickly noticed the error I made in reading that. It's not few of the things. It is not what you like, but observe all that I have commanded you. Brothers and sisters, that is the first ground for victory in our life. Total obedience to the word of God. I know there are scholars and theologians, great men among us, who talk about essentials and non-essentials when it comes to the word of God. I believe that for salvation, there are essential things and there are non-essentials. But when it comes to discipleship, everything is essential in the word of God. Sometimes that essential and non-essential has made us to think that many commandments of the Lord are optional. So the first thing that Joshua did is he heard the word of God. He understood it. He was willing to obey all of that. You know, many commandments in the word of God, especially in 1 Corinthians 11, 10 and all, we say it was cultural. That was given to the Corinthian people. Why do we have to obey it? But we know when we read 1 Corinthians verse 2, chapter 1 verse 2, the Corinthians letter is written not only the Corinthians, but all believers everywhere. So the first reason for victory is obedience to the word of God. Whatever I have commanded, not whatever I like, whatever is politically correct, whatever is right for the culture, no, every word of God. That's what brings victory in our life. Obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Secondly, Jericho's victory was because of the preparation they did. I know the time is going fast and I lost some time also. But in chapter 2, we see Joshua sent 2 spies to Jericho to spy out the land. Now we may wonder why he sent these 2 people to the promised land when 38 or so years back, they sent 12 people. What's the difference? But 38, 40 years back when they sent 12 people, that was because of unbelief. God already told them, I have given the land. Go and take possession. But they said, no, we need to go and check it out. whether we are able to take it. Now we know what was the consequence of that, sending the spies. Thousands and thousands. So every nation, about 20, died and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. But now, again, Joshua is sending two men. Why? This is how I understand. First, it was a planning. It was a planning to see how to go and take the city. Secondly, there was a woman in that city living at the wall. Her name was Rahab. God was going to show mercy to this woman who heard about the God of Israel so many years back. We read about her as a harlot. But I don't think when Joshua's two spies went there, she was in that business. I don't think so. Because she says, we heard. When Israel were not willing to believe the word of God, trust him, here is a Gentile woman, heard about what God has done for them in Egypt, at the Red Sea, what he has done for them. And she said, I know, I heard, I know, your God is the living God. We heard, we feared, I know. See, we read in the word of God in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing. She heard and she became a believer. So God was going to show mercy by sending these two spies there. And God wanted to deliver. The faith that brought the wall down also brought Rahab and her relatives out from the city that is going to be judged and perishing. So we see preparation. Not only obeying the word of God, there was a preparation. Thirdly, when you look at chapter 4, verse 14 of Joshua, Justin, you can help me. Joshua chapter 4, verse 14.
On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, as they had feared Moses all the days of his life.
Okay. Another reason for the victory is there was obedience not only to God's word, but obedience to the leader, a God-appointed leader. Even today, brothers and sisters, if you want blessing in our life, in our family's life, in our assembly life, we need not only to obey the word of God, we need to submit to the leaders God has placed above us. So there was obedience to the word of God. There was obedience, submission to the proper leadership that God has. Now read chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. What did these people say to Joshua? Look at chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Justin?
So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses.
Very interesting. You know, when I read this verse, I don't know whether I should laugh or I should cry. You know why? They are telling, Joshua, we will obey you just like we obeyed Moses. If you read the book of Numbers, you know how they obeyed, right? They were stiff. Moses says, from the time I know you, you were stiff-necked people. God himself said, they are stiff-necked people. So now they are telling, Joshua, we will obey you in everything, just like we obeyed Moses. So I don't know, you know, to laugh or cry, because they were not very obedient people. Then I understood one thing. These people who are telling that to Joshua now, this is the new generation. This is not the older ones whose bodies fell in the wilderness. This is the young generation. They are telling, we will obey just like we obey. That's why Deuteronomy was written for the next generation. They did not have all the experiences, understanding of it from early, but now they have a greater commitment. They're telling, we will obey. So brothers and sisters, this is another condition for victory. Obedience to the leadership. This generation is telling, we will obey. In the beginning, they did that. We can read that. In the book of Judges, we read, later we read, another generation came that did not know the Lord. and what he has done for them. But this generation, they were willing, they were obedient to Joshua. That is another reason for the victory. The next thing we see in Joshua chapter 5, verse 5. Joshua chapter 5, verse 5.
Joshua chapter 5, verse 5. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. But all.
The next reason for victory, there was a proper preparation. God has given the covenant of circumcision to Abraham's descendants, but they did not do that for this generation that are now Joshua talking to. Circumcision, the Lord said, I'm rolling away the reproach of Egypt. Here once Egypt, we all know, is a picture of the world. God brought Israelites out from Egypt, divided the Red Sea, brought them out, then crossed the sea, and gave them a command never to go back. You can read that in Isaiah 30 about going back to Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. In the New Testament, we read, love not the world and the things of the world. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. So the circumcision was, in a sense, telling that I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt. You don't belong to Egypt. You are in the world, but not of the world. Separation from the world is another condition for blessing in our life. Today, in our midst, how much of the world is in our midst? The world and its fashions and its ways have crept in. Somebody said, I looked for the church in the world, but I found the world in the church. Examine our life and see how much of the ways of the world has crept into our life in our midst. There is a saying here, baby, you have come a long way. Baby, you have come a long way. Some of my listeners are people who have come from Kerala, from India. You know, where we are, how much we have advanced it. Some of our life and lifestyles, if our grandparents could see it, the saying that they will roll in their grave will not be an overstatement. I'm not telling about everybody. Thank God for those who live a separated life. But brothers and sisters, the world has crept into the church. That's why we are defeated many a times. Our God is a triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our enemy is also threefold, the world, the devil, and the flesh. Jericho was like the world standing against them. The next city, Ai, is a picture of the flesh, the underestimated. And then the Gibeonites in the next chapter is the deception of Satan. Joshua was asked by God to circumcise the new generation that did not do that. There was proper separation. The next thing we see is chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Justin, chapter 5, verse 13 to 15.
And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so.
Brothers and sisters, the next thing we see in preparation for going to take Jericho, recognizing, Joshua had to recognize, I am not the commander-in-chief. The Lord, the pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord as the angel of the Lord. And Joshua realized, though he asked first, who are you for? But once he understood who he is, he fell down and worshiped. What does this mean to you and I today? Recognizing the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, even a simple, symbolic gesture like our sisters putting a head covering on their head doesn't look very, very great or something, but even that small obedience is a picture of recognizing the Lordship of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Not calling him Lord and Lord and not willing to obey him like Peter, you know. Peter, the Lord said, I'm going to the cross. He said, no, it should not happen to you. No, Lord. When Peter was asked to take in Acts chapter 10, in that vision, to cut and eat that animals in that sheet that came down, he said, no, Lord. You cannot call him Lord and say no. A total obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is what will bring victory in our life. When we go back, what we see is it had nothing to do with the shouting, simply the obedience. Once again, I wanted to apologize for what has happened. We were just talking about our enemy, one of the enemies, Satan. I think he don't want you and I to hear this message. Anyhow, brothers and sisters, I will only take a few minutes and I'll wrap up today's message. We were talking about why there was victory at Jericho. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience to God's leadership. Obedience in circumcision or separation. Fourthly, we saw that what they did looked like foolishness. Going around the wall and marching. First day they marched, nothing happened. Maybe the people in Jericho got scared. What are they going to do? The second day, the same thing. Third day, fourth day. Maybe by then they began to mock. What's going to happen? But a total obedience on the part of the Israelites is what God asked. Nothing else. What God asks us to do may look like foolishness to the world. Actually, the gospel is foolishness to the world. We know that. But it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. Brothers and sisters, you and I may not understand everything God asks us to do or everything God is doing. But you know what God wants you and I to do is simple obedience. Trust and obey. For there is no other way. To be happy in Jesus, trust and obey. What they were told to do sounded like foolishness. But they did that. No matter what you are going through, obey the word of God, even when we don't understand that. The cross looks like foolishness to the people of the world, but that's where the power is. Natural man cannot understand that. So, in closing, let me say, the victory in Jericho had nothing to do with the shouting. The victory at Jericho had nothing to do with the ark being in their midst. It was the presence of God recognized and the obedience of God's people that brought victory. We read in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Remember that young shepherd boy David, when he was facing that giant Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. Saul tried to put all the armor on him. He said, I'm not used to it. I'm a shepherd boy. Then when he went to face Goliath, he said, you come to me with sword and spear and shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. You know how that encounter ended, we know. Battle belongs to the Lord, no matter what it is. We have an enemy, but we have the Lord on our side when we are on his side. We in Jericho because total obedience to the word of God. Victory at Jericho because obedience to God's leadership that he has placed over them. Victory at Jericho, separation from the world in the act of circumcision. Victory at Jericho, because they recognize who is actually the commander-in-chief, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Victory at Jericho, because even though it looked like foolishness to the world, they simply obeyed. On the seventh day, when they marched around the wall collapsed. They went in and took the place. Victory. We all want blessing in our life, don't we? We want victory in our life. Like, we don't want defeat. We don't want curse. We want blessing. In America, people want so much blessing that even if you sneeze, you get a blessing. You know what I'm talking about, right? We all want blessing, but there are conditions for blessing. Obedience to the word of God. May that be our attitude as we looked at this one. Once again, I'm sorry for the technical issues that happened. Maybe, Lord willing, that may not be the case, and I will make up what I couldn't cover totally. But thank God, our God, we are more than conquerors. We are more than victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. The battle belongs to the Lord. He wants us to be. Next week, we will look at why the defeat. We have tremendous lesson to learn from that incident also. So we can balance. The word of God is both learning and warning in our life. May his name be glorified. Thank you.